better listen very carefully.
A good martial artist does not become tense, but ready.
Essentially, at this point, the fight is over.
So you pretty much flow with the goal.
Who is worthy to be trusted with the secret to limitless power?
I'm ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Bulletproof for BJJ podcast. I'm JT, and I'm here with the Quiff from the South, Joey.
Hi, guys.
I love it. Joey's been putting more time into his hair, and I'm jealous.
I got length that needs product.
That's right. Volume, it's up there. I love it. Guys, have you taken a little bit of time off? Have you maybe fallen out of the routine of training, lifting, rolling? You're like, man, I want to train, but just kind of – you don't want to go through the suck.
I've done it. It happens every time. Every time I get injured or I take a holiday or I do something that disrupts my training, it's hard to get back on the wagon.
Yeah, 4 weeks turns into 6 weeks. Before you know it, it's 3 months and – You haven't rolled and you haven't lifted.
And the surgeon's saying, we've got to remove that meniscus. Wait.
No. I'm just like, I've had three different messages from black belts. Now, they don't run academies, but okay, they...
Black belts.
But the thing is, I guess we have this preconception that once you're a black belt, you're in for life.
Yeah.
But the truth is, when you do something a long time, other things accumulate. Businesses, families, you know, everything. And so sometimes you don't get to put a priority on your own stuff the way you could 10 years ago. And a couple of these people are like, how do I get back into it? I'm struggling with motivation. Like, there is something to this because also young Julian had said, bro, he did kind of strain himself and he the physio had said, you do have to take a couple of weeks and let this heal. And he's like, how do I get back? It wasn't a question of jiu-jitsu. This was more on the lifting. And I believe that this
go
is...
Go to a different physio. That's what you need to do.
go to the physio who'll give me the cortisone injection. Yeah. Give me the TRT and then I'm back in the game, coach. No, I think it's whether you do BJJ just purely and you don't lift or you do jiu-jitsu, you also do a bit of lifting and you've fallen out of the habit. How do you get back? How do you just break the back of that resistance? Because the longer you leave it, the harder it is to do. It becomes like a weight. It's kind of the inertia becomes accumulates.
Yeah.
You're like, fuck, it's just getting longer. I'm getting worse. Everyone's getting better. It becomes a real head game because so a good friend of mine, he shall remain nameless, he has a dog and he's put on a bit of weight.
And your dog or your mate?
I reckon the dog's probably put on weight. I haven't seen – he hasn't posted much about the dog recently. Yeah, okay. But you know how they say like the owner – the dog and the owner are reflective.
Yeah.
You see that out of shape dog with the out of shape owner. And I said to him, he's been depressed. And this is no shade on anyone who has depression, but he's like, man, I'm feeling depressed. I'm like, you got a dog, right? He's like, yeah. I'm like, do you walk the dog? He says, oh, sometimes my missus walks the dog. And I'm like, it's your fucking dog. Like, why aren't you walking your dog? Like, the reason why I say this is one, animal cruelty, don't make a fat dog. But two, it's a healthy thing to just go for a walk. Just go for a walk because that is the simplest thing you can do. It doesn't have to be long, you know, and the dog is a great excuse because it is something that would have to happen, say. So just half an hour of going for a walk because he was kind of whinging to me over the internet about, oh, man, I put on weight. Oh, I've lost my motivation. And I'm like, walk your fucking dog. Like I was very empathetic because I couldn't come in too harsh, but I was like, dude, just take your dog for a walk.
You're a fat, sloppy piece of shit, bro. You need to go for a walk. I'm trying to be nice.
I ain't no dog trainer, homie. Like, work it out. Like, you've got to find an excuse for yourself and you've got to make it easy. So let's talk about the steps that you can take to really break the inertia. How can we come back for yourself, Joe? What's something you do when it comes to, say, lifting? Say, you, for whatever reason – it may have been an injury or a holiday or something. How do you get yourself back in on the lifting train or the movement train?
So the best thing for me recently has been, you know, when I first had the gym earlier on in the days, it was really easy for me to just train a couple of hours every day.
Sure.
You know, I was just like, fuck yeah. It was kind of the main focus of the day. These days, there's a lot more work to be done. I'm really more interested in like the businesses and, you know, doing our content creation and all that stuff. So training is really easy for it to take a back seat, right? So you could say that I'm not as motivated actually to train.
Sure.
So before the thing that I have before I talk about what gets me back in after a layoff is I have structures in place that make it really hard for me to miss training.
Right.
And that is I train with a group of people.
Yep.
And we train at a set time, Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, and it's in the calendar.
Accountability.
Yep. And I got to be here for them because I coach them.
Sure.
And that's when I do my training. And I told the guys the other day, I'm like, if I didn't have this, I probably wouldn't be as consistent as I have been over the last few years.
Fair.
And that, you know, I was really glad to kind of realize that because the younger me would have been like, nah, fuck that. Like, I can get it done no matter where I'm at, blah, blah. And it's like, well, yeah, you can hold on to that. But the reality is you've got to find the structure that suits you.
Mm.
Makes me think a conversation I had with one of my guys in the group this morning was he's a younger fella and he's just committed to training with us like in the group full time. He's sort of come in and out. And he said, you know, I had to swallow my pride a bit because I wanted to think that I'm the kind of guy that could just get it done by myself. But he's like, the reality is I just wasn't getting it done. So having the group here has actually, you know, been really cool. What I said to him was like, he works as in a freelance gig. So his schedule each week is all over the place.
Yep.
I said, bro, if you're a tradesperson and you know that you're working 7 till 3 p.m. every day, it's really easy to get into a routine with this shit.
Yeah.
You lift weights on these days and then you go to jiu-jitsu these days and that's it every week. But I'm like, your life is chaotic every week.
Mm.
Without routine, it's always going to be a struggle to make this shit work. So, you know, just I think that's really important. If there's no structure, you're probably going to be in this cycle of in and out all the time.
Yeah, routine and habit are so important. And I guess the reason I was asking is because not that long.
Sorry for not answering your question.
Well, let's circle back around to my question. But I think that is very relevant because I'm going to talk about habit next. Routines and habits, almost one and the same. Routines are just systems of habits. Essentially, we had talked about holidays and how when you're on the road or you're at the farm or you're at the beach, you don't always have access to kettlebells or whatever. And you had done a post about just doing something simple, like picking three moves and then just sticking to a set or five moves, simple and just doing them. And I think the thing is we build it up in our head like, oh, in order for me to lift weights, I have to have a kettlebell and I have to this. And it's not
like those CrossFit friends who like take a barbell when they go on holidays. You're like, bruh.
Dude,
bruh,
not
you don't have to take a fucking barbell.
Fuck it up.
I got to do thrusters with it. And then I got to do the burpees over the barbell. And if there's not a barbell there, I can't do the exercises.
Oh, my God. And look, whatever, man. Like, I mean, well, actually, you got to give respect to the dedication, right?
Fucking
like,
A, yeah.
It might be misaligned. Like, yeah. You might be putting a lot of energy in a certain direction, which may be, you know, ill-informed.
Yeah, you get it done, however you got to get it done.
Good for you for doing the thing.
Something's better than nothing, isn't it, JT?
No, I don't agree with that. I think that is a classic example where that something is not better than nothing. Just go for a walk on the beach, you fucking idiot.
Yeah. So my little mini routines.
Mini routines.
So
breaking it down so the barrier to entry is lower. This is what I'm trying to talk about. You've got a bit of inertia and you're like, fuck, I can't get back into it. I can't just do deadlifts right now. Don't. Yeah. What do we do?
So I have like, you know, I try to follow a program. We all try and follow a program.
I can't believe you just try to throw that on me. I'm in the middle of – Joe does that. He does it every time. I'm getting on a bit of a roll. I'm getting agreeable. And then Joey goes, and that's where you agree with the point of view that you disagreed with before. Like, don't do it to me, man. Sorry, continue.
But, you know, you try to follow a consistent thing, programs, blah, blah. We're all about it. However, you go on holidays or something like that. You're out of your routine and all of a sudden it's like, dude, fuck my program. I'm not, depending on the holiday, depending on the break, I'm not, you know, if I'm chilling somewhere with my family on a long weekend, I'm not really interested in going and doing a 90-minute strength workout. But here's the thing. Training, I know, and this is training on the whole. It could be jiu-jitsu. It could be some strength work. Could be flexibility. Doing something physical for me is A, part of my identity, and B, allows me to enjoy my life more.
Yes.
So while I don't mind a day or two kicking back, doing very little, the reality is I actually don't want to just do nothing with my body day after day. I start to feel like shit.
Yeah.
I don't look forward to meals.
Yeah.
I don't sleep as well.
Yeah.
I don't have that. I feel like just generally I'm less happy.
Mm.
You know, and there's all, you know, whatever, like listen to Huberman on that. But, you know, the dopamine and all that shit, all the good hormones that you get from like fucking actually doing something challenging. So I know that doing some amount of physical training is going to pay massive dividends for me.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, when I'm like, all right, cool, I'm going to do like 25 minutes, whatever, a circuit. Or I'm going to, I don't know, run and go into a fucking jiu-jitsu thing. I'm gonna sprint up this hill 10 times.
Yeah.
It's something different to what I would normally do. Fuck, maybe it's going to a CrossFit class.
Could be.
You know, it's just getting a sweat on, getting a bit of a pump on. I know that that's going to allow me to enjoy my time. I'm going to, you know, sleep better, eat better, all that shit. So, yeah, like I find it's like, it's not so much about sticking to the plan and never being able to veer off that, but it's the meta plan of do something physical.
Yeah, and I think I want to drill down into, you just said identity. So this is an important thing. I raised this with a different friend who I am allowed to be a bit more harsh with. And I said, look, when we start to talk about habits and we start to talk about identity and we talk about, okay, am I the kind of person who blank? Are you the kind of person who lifts weights? Are you the kind of person who goes for a walk? Are you the kind of person who wallows in their own self-pity and is a miserable, complaining motherfucker? We can all be that kind of person sometimes. But the difference is in the choice you make. And it doesn't. It's not about posting on Instagram. It's not about any kind of external. This is the internal scorecard that you go, fuck, I feel like crap. All right, I got to move. I got to something. You know what? Fuck, there's a kettlebell in the corner over there. I'm just going to hit some swings. I'll warm up, move around a bit, a couple of swings. I'll just do, you know, three sets of 15 or I'll do, you know, I'll just swing for 5 minutes and just do that. Oh, man, I'm just going to go for a walk around the block. Oh, yeah, I might walk up that hill. Yeah, just something as simple as that. Because are you the kind of person who, whatever it is you want to be? So ask yourself, who am I being right now? I'm being someone who's inactive. I'm someone who is feeling down. I'm all these things, right? It doesn't mean that's who you are. It just means it's an idea of what is this situation. The only thing, like change only comes through action. And the thing that we underestimate a lot is you can't think your way out of a bad mood. You can't, like you're in a bad mood. The only way you can actually change the chemicals in your brain other than taking prescribed drugs or any other drugs, as it might be.
Maybe the ones out there.
Climb that mountain, eat that mushroom, run with the coyotes in the forest. That's the thing. You need your body to move to generate these chemicals to enhance your brain. And so, you know, Tony Robbins talks about how like sitting down on the ground, how this changes how your whole brain works. Whereas you stand up tall, you stand up strong, this actually changes chemically what's going on in your body. So, you know, Tony Robbins is not coming from an informed perspective on...
He likes that little miniature trampoline.
He does.
Yeah.
Cold plunge. He does all kinds of crazy shit.
Yeah.
But the guy's been doing it well for a long time. Really, when it comes to habits, because here's the thing that pissed me off. I'm not feeling motivated. Fuck your motivation. Like, it doesn't matter how you feel.
Obviously, you're not familiar with Jocko Willink.
Well, I mean...
Or David Goggins.
Discipline. Now, discipline is an unsexy word, right? Like people, it's kind of like, oh, you're telling me I've got to be a fucking Jocko Willink? No, you don't. It's...
You want a little sprinkling of that though.
Yeah, it's good.
A little bit of Jocko.
500 milligrams of Jocko a day.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about Jocko Malk because that tastes like crap.
Malk.
It's so bad. But he's just partnered with CrossFit too.
Okay.
How funny. But no, this is what I wanted to say. As someone who doesn't tend to lack for motivation... What I've realized is sometimes I get my best workouts on the days I feel terrible. At the start of the day, I'm talking myself out of it. I'm feeling flat. My right knee's a bit achy. Maybe I didn't tap to that knee bar because I'm proud, because I didn't want Joey to have it. Whatever it might be, you know, there's these different factors and I'm coming into the workout and I'm like, should I even do the workout? Yeah, maybe I should just take a rest round on this workout.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, you know what? Nah, let's just get in the gym, just get myself there. Do a warm-up. If I get through halfway through the workout and it's crap, I'll just stop. But generally what I find is just...
It never is.
No, it isn't. Once you're warmed up, you're like, oh, I'm actually feeling okay.
I'm so glad I'm here.
Yeah. And you never truly regret that. But you do can feel that little bit of, you know, not shame, but, you know, you get to the end of the day, you're like, fuck, I didn't I could have. Yeah. You know, there was half an hour. I could have done something. And that's the thing we're trying to appeal to you here is if you're out there and you're stuck in a rut, whether it's with lifting or jiu-jitsu, you don't necessarily have to go to like a comp class and go really hard to further your jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
You could just call up a mate and be like, hey, bro, do you want to we'll come do some
– come do some shrimps in the living room.
No.
Oh, is that not good?
No. That's not what I was promoting, Joseph. But then it wouldn't be solo drilling. It would be duo drilling.
Bro, let's synchronize our shrimps. This is going to be sick.
Hot jiu-jitsu guy shit.
Yeah, so, like don't – that's a big one. It's like don't try and jump back into what you were doing before. And the longer your layoff has been, the more important that is.
Ease it in.
Yeah, like if you were training jiu-jitsu 4 nights a week and you've literally not gone to the gym for 3 weeks, don't fucking go back to 4 nights a week on that first week.
No.
Just like go once.
Yeah.
Just go once or go twice and then next week go 3 and then the week – like build it up. Or if it's weightlifting, don't go back and try and chuck another 5 kilos on top of your last set 4 weeks ago.
Mm.
Like you'll wreck yourself. You have to respect – that you've kind of dropped off a little bit and that the body needs a bit of an on-ramp in order to return to where you were.
Yeah, and look, you might even surprise yourself. You know, and this isn't to say, have no expectation, but the fact that you got there is a win. Mm. I think that's what people underestimate, that when it comes to re-engaging with an action or a habit, you getting there to the gym, that's the first step.
I agree, JT.
Oh, dang, Joey's agreeing with me.
What I'm trying to discern in my head is what you're saying there not really in line with something is better than nothing?
This is not true. This is not true. Let me explain this to you, my friends. Many people have said to me, hey, I'm trying to get fit for jiu-jitsu. I was thinking of taking up swimming. Don't do that. Why? Because the actions are completely unrelated. Hey, man, look, I thought I'd do an ultra marathon. I'm training for an ultra marathon. I think it'll help me get ready for my first jiu-jitsu tournament. It's not going to help you. That something is not better than nothing. That something might railroad you to complete ruin and corrupt the initial mission. So,
but what about, you know, as a third potential scenario there, I'm just going to go in and do a few sets of lifting weights. I don't want to do the full workout. I'm just getting a few sets and then next week I'll do the full thing.
If that program is in alignment with you getting better at jiu-jitsu, which is what we're discussing here, Joseph, then that's okay. But that's not just something.
So we're saying some somethings are better than nothing.
Look at the semantics on this, motherfucker. Dude. The danger here with generalities when we need specifics is clear. Let me not promote to you just doing anything or something. Here's the key thing. If you're struggling with your mental health, right? Because two of my friends, I had 3 messages in the last week, 2 of my friends are battling mentally. They're like, it's not even about exercise. They're struggling to leave their house, you know? That's a really tough place to be in. And I want to give them as much support as possible. So saying harsh things to them about, you know, toughen the hell up, David Goggins, that's actually not helping them in any way. I want to encourage them to take action. Now, I don't know what action they're going to take. I've just given them some advice and I've tried to put it from a perspective of someone who cares about them. And I just want them to start to feel better. I don't know what it will take for them to feel better. If you're someone who battles with mental health issues and you can't bring yourself to do something, you don't understand why, you're going to need far better advice than I can give. I'm not qualified to give that advice. And, you know, if a trained psychologist or someone who has some experience in these matters says to you, something's better than nothing, I mean, whatever, take their advice.
Oh, you're still on that.
That's not my advice. That's not my advice. What I'm saying here is that we are trying to lower the barrier to entry, aren't we, Joe?
Yeah.
We're trying to help people here.
Yes, we are, fam.
We are. And everyone has different approaches on this. I'm not prescribing that you do anything. I'm not prescribing you do something.
Is this you like...
No. No, not at all. This is Joe. It's classic Joe Worthington. The verbal jujitsu here on the podcast that essentially...
You talked yourself into this mess.
What are you talking about? You saw an opportunity and you just slipped the knee in. Look, honestly, I feel that when you're getting back to BJJ, which is probably harder than lifting, you need training partners. That's generally, yeah. Right? So that can be a limitation if you're stuck with kids, you've got a sick wife or a sick husband, you know, stuff to do. It will be hard for you to come back to jiu-jitsu. It's easier to get back to lifting or physical exercise.
Yeah, solo stuff.
Well,
yeah. Not solo drills, but
oh, no.
Alone training. JT's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, should call. Oh, no. I'm doing some alone training, bro. Oh, cool. Cool. That sounds cool. Sorry, bro. I'll talk to you later. Okay.
Some alone training.
Back to the shrimping.
Sure. Look, so how can you action this? You want to get back in action. You have to take action.
You got the container. I think the container is really important. The container being the gym that you go to do your lifting or the jiu-jitsu academy. It's like getting back into the container.
Sure.
But you don't have to engage with it at 100% intensity.
The pace where you were before.
Yeah, and I think the thing that people got to recognize, particularly with jiu-jitsu, and I've done this myself and I can think of some close friends who do this like chronically, is fuck, I haven't been here for 2 weeks, I got to go twice as hard to make up. And it's like, no, bro, it doesn't work out like that.
Yeah.
You just go easy. Yeah. Just get an easy round, get a medium round, do one hard round, you know, and then come back stronger the next. Because you are objectively less prepared for this than you were when you were training regularly.
Yeah, even though your FOMO, even though your ego, even though your anxiety would tell you, oh, I've got to take it back, that's just not how it's done. So when we get to forming a habit, like you're learning something new, it is step by step. It is kind of baby steps. But the cool thing about getting back into it, if you've done it before, you will be able to do it again. So it's trusting yourself that you're going to come back. It's not that you've missed out and you've got to catch it up. No, you get back in the flow. And then before you know it, a couple of weeks go by, you're back. But it's this fear of sucking. Even though we all embrace the suck when we're in it and, oh, you know, jiu-jitsu, you know, it's so hard. It challenges us. But I think that, and this is, like, I'm going to speak to my black belt friends here because there's three of them, shout out to all of them. Because they've been used to being good and feeling great and feeling better than other people at jiu-jitsu, now they're going to go back and they're going to eat that humble pie.
Yeah.
And even though we say that's the great thing about jiu-jitsu, humble pie is hard to swallow, man.
Yeah.
Dude, when you come back and purple belts are beating you and... oh, that weight that you could do before is only 50% is now your 100%. Like it's...
that hurts.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. But I guess the thing is life's progression isn't linear. It's not all up and to the right. So it's good. I think the adversity of it is what makes it great. And your ability to accept it is really what's going to determine a good comeback.
It's also, in my view, an immature perspective on... you as in just on life to think that it'll just always be upwards.
Of course.
You know, and as you age and as you train more, I think you just realize, ah, fuck, this thing is, you know, whatever. Hopefully it is upwards in some ways.
Gradually.
Yeah, and that might be like maybe the upwards trajectory is you becoming wiser, you learning more about the realities of this thing. What might be a little bit more chaotic is you being dominant forever.
Yeah.
Or you being the most savage cat on the mat or the strongest person in the weights room. It's like, no, that'll only last for a short period.
Yes.
So I think that's a really important thing to keep in mind.
I mean, recently I had listened to a podcast about the founder of Vans, and he was an amazing worker, and he'd worked for this rubber company that made shoes, and he got fired. Even though he did a great job, they were going to put in three high-level executives that had run the company into the ground, and he had saved their asses. And the owner of the company is like, no, I'm going to put him in. He's like, I'm going to leave. I can't believe that you would do this. And it broke his heart to leave, and the owner had always admitted that letting this guy go was the biggest mistake he ever made, but that meant that this guy started the Vans company. Mm. And that even though that would appear to be a massive fall, he'd worked for this company for 20 years. For him to leave and try and start his own company was kind of almost madness, but it meant that he founded the most successful skate shoe company of its era, of that time, the 80s and early 90s. And I think that's the thing, that when you get injured or you get time off, whatever, and you get back, it makes you value it more. You go, man, how good is it to be back in the flow? How good is it to feel strong again? And the only problem is we easily forget the pain of not. We're just, oh, this is the standard now. I'm good. But it's never just constant. But I think having those moments of winning, or those moments of feeling strong or feeling healthy and feeling good in your body, we have to work for those moments. And to expect that they're just going to – you can just maintain and keep them forever is an illusion. So if you're feeling a bit down in the dumps or you're feeling stuck, it is definitely within your power to change it. But you've got to start small in order for it to get back to where it was.
Yeah, I think something that we implied that we didn't explicitly mention, and you touched on this before, is that motivation is not the fuel that's going to make you successful with this thing. It's discipline. And that is, it's not about like, oh, I really want to go and do jiu-jitsu today, or I really want to go and lift weights today. You might feel like that about like 10% of the time. Mm. They're the real easy sessions.
Sure.
But the rest of the time, you're probably not going to feel like it. There's going to be other shit on that is probably a bit more urgent, whatever. It's the discipline is the thing that's just going to make you go, no, I'm the kind of person who does this, and so off I go.
Yeah, definitely.
We got a voicemail that
we
came
through.
We do
have a message. Let's check it out.
We hit this.
So if you have a question for us, or you'd like to get featured on the podcast, you can send a message through to us via SpeakPipe. Leave us a voicemail, kind of old school.
Yeah, it's on the website.
On the website.
Go to bulletproofofbjj.com, hit podcast.
We will play you on the show and answer your questions.
Here we go.
Joey, JT, absolutely love the podcast, lads. I'm about a year behind at the moment because I've only just got onto you, but I'll catch up. But I thought I'd jump in with this question. I'm about 8 months into my Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu journey. I'm a frothy-mouthed white belt, 36 years old. I've got a background in professional ballet. I stopped when I was 22.
Cool.
I've also trained in calisthenics and climbing for about 6 years. So coming into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, my strength and conditioning was relatively good, and I have quite a high baseline of strength and flexibility. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, for me, is about the ability to compete due to the categories. I'm wondering what kind of level you think I will be able to compete at. How do the categories work in the bigger competitions? Will I ever be a world champion in, say, a master's category at blue belt? Do they do worlds at white belt?
Yes.
Damn.
Cool.
Gregory's hungry.
He is.
Gregory's the name, by the way.
Yeah.
Thanks for the message, man.
Shout out, Gregory. I believe that it's interesting because he said, will I ever be a world champion? And it's like, you've got to put some context around that. But then he said, masters.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think so. I think
you absolutely could be.
Yeah.
Won't be easy. No. It'd be really fucking hard.
It'd be tough because I think this is the thing that's changed. Because jiu-jitsu is so much bigger now, world masters, if you're going to go to the world championship of the masters in Las Vegas, is massive.
Yeah.
It sells out every year. It's like 3,500 people. It's the biggest, if you're thinking of the IBJJF, it's the biggest event there is.
But you know where I think world masters, my maths could be wrong here, but I think it would be extremely hard at the upper belt end.
Yes.
Because these are people that have been competitive black belts at adult, and now they're in masters, right? Yeah. Whereas maybe in the lower belt ranks, it is still people who are a bit newer to the game, right? It's a blue belt.
Yeah.
So in that way, I think like anyone can have a crack at that.
I believe so. And personally, I feel like you could probably compete at white belt level. You could compete at adult. It sounds like you have a great background, like coming from ballet and climbing, and like you've got
strong.
A lot of really good physical depth there, that is going to give you an advantage over someone who's maybe younger and only does jiu-jitsu. So I think there is an advantage to someone in their mid-30s, late-30s coming in at white belt or blue belt. But the thing is, it has become more competitive.
Yeah.
So if your intention is to compete, awesome. I want to encourage you. And what I'd say is you want to try and get in as many comps as you can to get familiar with the format. Every comp is different, whether you go to Grappling Industries or you're doing like a Naga event or different, I don't know exactly the tournaments over there in the UK, but definitely compete as much as you can to get familiar with the format. This is going to make you better when you go to a big international event.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess like the other side he asked about were like the divisions and stuff. That's kind of specific to each comp that you're doing. So, you know, you're just going to find your weight category.
But
and then you're going to make the choice, do I do adults or do I do masters?
Sure.
Or 36, I think you can do masters too.
You can.
Right? And the reality is smaller competitions probably
they just
won't have much, like many competitors in all of those divisions. So I know when I did my last comp, which was I think I was 36 or 37, I did. I jumped in on the adult division because I'm like, I don't think there's going to be anyone in masters.
Yep.
And there might have been one or two, but there was really only like three or four in the adult division.
Yeah.
Now, that's a small local competition. Of course, if we're talking world's masters or we're talking the Pan Pacs or something,
yep,
I definitely would have gone into masters one or masters two.
Sure.
Because, you know, whatever. It's I don't want to fuck with the extremely high-level people that have got 10 years on me. So I think that's a consideration, right, when you're entering a comp. Try to look at where there is a bit of competition for you.
Yeah.
Because you want those rounds, right?
Definitely. You're going in there to learn and get the experience. The only thing which can sometimes be disappointing is they merge categories.
Yeah.
They're just
go,
like,
I'm going to go Masters 2 on this one. Then they go, you're doing it with adults anyway.
Yeah, we're just putting it all together.
Like, which if that's what happens, right, like what are you going to do? At least you get the experience.
And it depends on the weight category because that can be the tough thing too. If they've only got two guys in your category, they're like, we're bumping you up a weight category. And you're like, but I'm at the bottom of my weight category.
Yeah.
You're fighting dudes who are 10, 15 kilos heavier than you.
I would say too, though, like you said, his depth of like physical training, like on paper, like well, in actuality, you're going to be younger. Like yes, you're going to be as strong, if not stronger, and probably more like physically capable than a lot of the other competitors. So that's a really strong thing to have in your corner. Yeah.
Yeah. Go for it. I say get after it. Don't worry about age. Because you have clearly done a lot with your body. You'll be in good shape. And to anyone out there, don't worry about your age. Focus on your skill and your physical conditioning and then just go wreck shop.
Last piece on the comp thing is don't try and fucking cut weight to get to a lower division. Just go in whatever division suits you. Had a friend from who we trained with the other day, went to the first comp in a while, first comp at Blue Belt, I think, and missed weight by 300 grams. So like rookie. Fucking rookie.
300 grams.
Yeah, just like why would you even introduce that as a factor? Just go into the thing that you're naturally weighted at and you can compete and just worry about the competition.
Yeah, worry about the skills, not the weight cut.
Thanks, Gregory. Like JT said, leave us a voicemail featuring on the show. Thanks, fam.
Cheers.
Catch you next week.